We don't know where this is going to leave. We're just still trying to find the leadership of God, and so pray earnestly that they will discern what the Lord is revealing to them in this opportunity. He's preaching in a friend's church in the area so that they're able to negotiate this opportunity to meet him while he's preaching in another church, and so we're taking advantage of that. Let me call attention to some things. I've been watching the green cards all across. I believe at my last count there were 53 up there already, 53 gospel conversations, and I'm praising God for that, but I need to keep reminding you, because we only have received in the last 2 weeks 3 cards, so I don't want you to quit. We keep talking about Jesus, because the more we talk about him, even to the same person, the more Holy Spirit will use those opportunities to open up a chance for us to actually share Christ with them. So take every opportunity to talk about salvation and Christ and give your own testimony, if you will. And when you have the opportunity to do that, write their first name on this card and then lay it here on the altar, or put it in the offering plate. There's always going to be a stack of cards here, so you have one. And the men will put them up on that fishing line so that we can rejoice in the more people sharing Christ. Remember, it's Christ who does the saving through the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I are to talk about Jesus. We're to tell him about, tell whoever gives us the opportunity, tell him about how a person can become Christian, then share your own testimony. Many times, your first opportunity is just to share your own testimony. What has God been doing in your life, and praising God in it? There is a disciple maker training event at 6 p.m. Well, just a second. I forgot to write down the date. It's this week. It's Tuesday night at the New Community Baptist Church, New Community Church over by the hospital, isn't it? Yes, okay. It'll be at that place. It's the one that we've been using, those little New Testaments and so forth that we've been using in the Revive Ohio. Our leaders in Auglaize County are planning on continuing this. So we're going to be meeting one Saturday every month and going out together, talking to people about Jesus. And so we're going to need some more disciplers. And some of you have expressed an interest, said you would like to be a disciple maker and disciple someone individually. Well, this is going to be an opportunity for you to train to do that over to Community Church and 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much. Yeah, this is every conversation. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Are they going to assign new disciples?
I don't know. I don't know. I think this is just the training so far.
Sorry.
No. All right, remember again, Brother Ron, as he preaches at Wapakoneta, and as I've already said, remember our committee. So turn to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be looking again at verses 28 through 30. And as the Lord leads, there's going to be one more sermon on these three verses, at least one more. So we're going to be preaching next week about learning from Christ. Read with me from verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, open our understanding to realize what it means to take your yoke upon us. Because, Lord, we want to know the rest that you're talking about twice in these verses. So teach us, Holy Father, how that we must come to you and take your yoke upon us in the process. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray it. And amen. Amen. Well, hope my voice will clear up. Seems to be raspy this morning. Please be tolerant with me. I'm asking a facetious question because I grew up watching oxen work. Fact is, every once in a while, I get to see them at the state fair and events like that. But rarely do people in our day see oxen at work. And so when we talk about a yoke, I'm suspicious that many of the people have little understanding of what a yoke is really all about. For that matter, those of us who do know what an oxen or yoke of oxen is about have a tendency to react to the word of the Lord and say, Lord, putting on a yoke don't sound like rest. It sounds like more work. It sounds like when the Lord is saying, put my yoke upon you, it sounds like a job assignment. It sounds like an additional responsibility when we react to it the way we typically do. But our problem is we're thinking about doing things in our own power and in our own strength. And the yoke idea is to help us understand that God does not expect us to do anything alone. He expects us to walk with Him in it. Therefore, I want you to think with me what it really means to take my yoke upon you. There's a lot of people and a lot of circumstances that we think about and don't really understand simply because we don't know what we're talking about. But in the Jewish tradition, this is a figure of speech for assuming responsibility, submission to those that we're supposed to be serving. It's a surrender, if you will. It's a figure of speech for that. And you won't really understand it until you stop and think about this idea of the yoke itself. How many of you have ever seen a team of oxen work with a yoke? All right? Two persons. Okay. Three counting myself. All right? There is a time when I grew up on the farm, I got to see it in another context because my father broke horses and mules to work in teams. That was a part of his business other than farming. He trained horses and mules for other farmers. And I began to learn from the way he used the harness what it meant to actually pull a load as an animal. I mean, we talk about pulling a load when in reality, both the oxen and the horses actually push the load. The yoke was a heavy wooden piece that would be wide enough to reach across the neck and shoulders of two stout cattle. And there would be a part that was a U-shape underneath that was pushed through that yoke and pins put in it on the top. But strangely enough, they set that yoke down on the neck far enough, there was a place cut in it to sit over the neck. It set down so that when they were ready to push the load, the wood would be on their shoulders. And so with their shoulders, as they move forward, They tug the line behind them. Okay, usually a chain or a rope or something of strength to pull the load behind, but they were actually pushing as they move forward. The same thing with horses today. If you'll see them working and watch the gear they're wearing, there will be a large leather stuffed collar put around their neck and strapped at the bottom, and then the harness would fit over that and fasten to the collar, and a chain going back beside each side of the horse and attaching to what is now the counterpart to the yoke itself. There would be a single tree on each side behind each horse, and it's attached to each end of the double tree. So it's an upgrade of the old idea, except that the reason for that large leather stuffed collar is because the horse again would be pulling the load behind him by pushing that collar. Am I making sense to you now? I want you to understand that when he talks about our taking his yoke upon us, he's telling us that he is providing a better way of doing all the tasks we have to do. I mean, our life is full of burdens and responsibilities and troubles and problems that weigh heavy upon us. That's why he addressed us in the beginning as being weary and heavy laden. There's burdens that it's almost impossible for us to carry. There's times when we don't know if we're going to be able to face what has been thrown at us, and we cry out to God for help. And the Bible tells us he wants to give us rest, real rest. And the way he wants to do it is not by listening to our prayer saying, God, take this thing away from me. I mean, Jesus prayed that way, and we do too sometimes. The burden seems almost impossible, and he prayed, Lord, if it be possible, take this burden away, take this cup away, that I not drink it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's how we should pray. Be honest and say, Lord, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can carry this. This seems to be too much for me. What am I to do? He says, come to me with it and put my yoke on you. Now, if you'll understand what I mean by the yoke, you've got two oxen who are pulling together. Or in the case of horses, you've got 2 to 4. I've seen 1 6 horse team, but I've worked with 4 side by side. And in every team, no matter how many oxen or horses, there is a lead horse. And every time that lead horse takes the same position in the hitch, usually on the driver's right side, if there are just 2, but he's still in that position almost directly in front of the driver when there's 4 horses. You've got 2 others on the outside. And he speaks to that lead horse. He depends upon that lead horse literally leading the team. I questioned Dad one time when he kept talking about speaking to Tony. And I said, well, Dad, why don't you ever speak to the other horse? He says, because Tony will do what I tell him. That's how Dad broke. We had a Persian. You know anything about horses? They got feet about that big around and legs to match. They're taller and stouter and heavier than most any horse you could see. He'd been in the log woods, and somebody pulled a branch back and let it fly into his face and blinded him. So the lumberman put him up for sale. Dad bought him and taught him to voice command, to respond to voice command. And when Dad would break a horse to work, he would literally fasten the harnesses together so that the young horse had to do what Tony did. Whether he wanted to or not, he was forced to go along. Tony was big enough to pull the load by himself. But when he moved forward, that young horse learned to move forward. When Tony turned to G or Haw, if any of you remember what those things meant, left or right, I laughed. My mother told me one time when we was growing up, I was trying to give her directions left or right. She says, "I understand G and Haw." Okay, so I gave her directions G and Haw, okay? Left and right when you're talking to a horse, that's all right. What I want you to recognize, when Tony turned, the other horse turned too. When Tony stopped, he stopped. And if he tried to kick or jump, it didn't make any difference because he was fastened to Tony. You follow me? Tony was Dad's lead horse, all right? When God put us in a yoke, who is in the lead position? Who's on the other side of the yoke? You see, we don't pull the load by ourselves. We bow our head and surrender to Him, put that yoke upon us, but Christ is in the other side. He's in the other yoked position. You follow me? And we're yoked with Jesus. So when He says, "My yoke is easy and My burden is light," what He's talking about is, it is easy for us to do the task because, quite literally, the translation of the Greek word is fit. The yoke fits is literally what it's easy because it fits, all right? Now, picture again that heavy wooden thing that's got the U shape to go over your neck carved in, and the one for the other. They didn't go down to the local farm store and buy off the shelf a yoke. No, they took the animal to the carpenter, and his side of the yoke was literally carved for that one animal. It was carved to fit. If it didn't, one day's work would cause all kind of sore and injury to the shoulders, and then the animal would be unable to work. I want you to understand that, because when He's talking about His yoke is easy, He's talking about it fits. It's a good fit. So when you've yoked yourself up with the Lord Jesus Christ, even your part of the responsibility is designed for you. It fits. Am I making sense? And so His yoke is easy to work with, is what He's really saying. It's fit, and we need to remember God's not putting on us an impossibility. He's not giving us a task that is too big for us, because on His side, He's pulling a load, and we're sharing in the pulling with Him. So who do you think is pulling the most of the load when you're yoked with Jesus? I want you to understand, God designs all He expresses to us and for us. He designs it in a way that it is our fit. Don't complain to God, "I can't do this," or "it's too hard," or "I don't know enough," or "I don't have enough experience." I mean, don't use those kinds of excuses, because every task that He asks you to join Him in is designed for you. Want me to say that again? God wouldn't ask it of you if it was impossible for you. Oh, it is impossible if you're trying to do it by yourself. It is impossible if you're trying to pull the whole load or shoulder the whole burden or solve the whole problem by yourself. That's why you're yoked up with Jesus. Henry Blackaby, several years ago, taught me a severe blessing I think it's a blessing because I begin to understand my relationship with God in a brand new kind of way. Because when I read all of these things in the Scripture about what God was telling us to do, I had in my mind somehow this idea that God's given me assignment, and so I'm going to go off and do my assignment, and then I'm going to come back and report to Him how it went. But I began to understand from the Scripture, that's not what the Bible says at all. What the Bible says is we're to figure out what Jesus is doing and join Him. And when I begin to grasp that concept, everything changed. I'm not afraid to accept a task from the Lord Jesus now because I'm going with Jesus doing what He's doing. Or, as He says it here, I'm yoked up with Jesus. And He's the lead in this team. And so all I'm doing is following Him, His instructions, and walking along with Him, doing the task. In Sunday school, we was talking about Sam working as a team with his granddaughter. I mean, Sam's pretty strong. He looks like it anyway. But his partner is a little bitty thing. Well, who do you think was doing the most of the work? Even though she may have been doing everything he asked her to do and trying her best to do it well, she was a part. But who was pulling the most of the load? Well, when you link up with the Lord Jesus, when you put your neck in the yoke, who's on the other side pulling the most of the load? Are you listening to me? I don't care how big the task is or how impossible it sounds. If Jesus is carrying the most of the burden and I'm just walking along working with Him, all of a sudden, this impossible task becomes easy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not beyond me. He understands what I can and cannot do, and the Holy Spirit's going to make me able anyway. And so when I've yoked up with Jesus, there's literally nothing impossible for me to do. So I want us to understand that if we yoke up with Jesus, what that really means is we're doing life together, Jesus and I. I kind of like that idea of walking with Jesus. I mean, that was my prayer journey for many, many years when we lived in Sydney, only 2 blocks away from the big cemetery there on south of Sydney. I would walk down there and walk through the cemetery on those roads in the cemetery and just pray. I love to pray out loud when I'm in my relationship with God. I pray quietly in church and other places, but I like to pray early in the morning. Nobody is disturbed if I'm praying out loud early in the morning, and especially in the cemetery. But I like to imagine that Jesus is walking with me. And so my prayer becomes conversation back and forth with Jesus. And I walk sometimes with quietness because I'm listening to Him as He makes impressions upon my mind and heart. And it goes back and forth that way. I think if we could imagine ourselves in a yoke with Jesus, all of a sudden, we would begin to experience the pressures and burdens and circumstances of life as being easier to handle because Jesus is carrying the bulk of the load. Now, again, what we struggle with is because we want to control what happens. Jesus is yoked up with me. Jesus, here's what I'd like to do today. Now you come and help me do it. No, that's not the way it works. Jesus is saying, here's what we're going to do today. Get in the yoke and walk with me. He says, take my yoke upon. It's his yoke. Are you understanding? It's his yoke. So we're joining up with Jesus. We're not setting the agenda. We're not choosing where we work or what we're doing. We're simply getting in the yoke so he can direct us. And he's the one that'll tell us when to stop and when to turn and when to pull. I'm being facetious now, using the illusion of the two working together in a yoke, two animals. We are side by side with Christ in his yoke. But let me deal with this thing where he says, well, where we say that we want to do what we want to do. And so sometimes, like these young horses that my dad was trying to break to work, or break means to break their spirit so that they'll obey commands rather than being wild and fighting back and forth. However, it is a true picture of how we sometimes are, aren't we? We obey Christ with kicking and screaming. We don't really want to do, or we're convinced that we can't do what the Lord's trying to get us to do. And so we get no rest because we're wearing ourselves out, kicking and screaming about what he's trying to get us to do. What we need to remember is when you bow your head to get into that yoke, it's an act of surrender. That's what it meant to the Jewish people when they first heard this, take my yoke upon you. They heard the idea of surrender. If we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I really mean that, I love the deaf sign language for surrender. Something you pulled up to yourself, you take your hands off of it. You get the idea? You surrender. You give up control. You let somebody else be boss. And we fight with that because our pride makes us want to be in charge. We want to tell somebody else what to do. We want to be the one that gets the credit and the glory. We want it to happen our way. Raise your hand if you've ever done anything your way and then later on wished you had never done it. I've done some dumb things in my lifetime. By the way, you spell that S-T-U-P-I-D. A friend of mine said he stands before the mirror and shouts at who he sees and said, stupid! Well, sometimes we need to be honest enough to admit we tried our way and then wish we had never done it that way. Why can't we come to the place of trusting God enough that he knows what is necessary and what fits in our life? He knows what we're going through, and he knows how difficult it is, how heavy the burden is, how frightened we are. He knows already, and he's ready to make up the distance, to make up the difference, to add the strength that is necessary to tackle every problem that comes our way. However, I need to remind you once again, when he's telling us to take up our yoke, or take up his yoke, join him in the yoke, if you will, he's telling us that we are going to do some work. We live in a popular culture that thinks if I had it my way, I'd just get paid and do whatever I wanted to. Well, partly because I've done it too long and partly because I'm a workaholic, I guess. If I'm not doing something, I don't know how to handle life. For that matter, I've been serving Christ for so long that I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything if I'm not doing something to serve Christ. I mean, isn't it true that every one of you gain your sense of value from what you do? It becomes a part of your identity, especially among men. Listen to the men meeting each other for the first time. Whether it's in church or wherever, it doesn't matter. Their first question in trying to get to know the other man is, what do you do? Why? Because men have learned that my sense of worth is in what I do. Not just where I work, but what I do. What is my job? What contribution am I making? What makes me feel good as a person because I have done well in what I do? Now, women won't raise that question, but it won't be long in the conversation until they begin to raise issues about what they do. I mean, that's not their first question. They have a different, I don't know how else to say it, a more flowery way of introducing themselves to each other. But it's not long until they're talking about what they do. I mean, that's become so prominent in our culture that to say I'm just a housewife seems like I'm demeaning myself. When I, for instance, believe being a mother and a housewife is probably still the best profession, the most honored and most important of all the professions that women can do. What's the old saying we say flippantly, behind every man there is a... Why do we say that? That's how necessary she is. Am I making sense to you? So don't ever belittle yourself. Allow yourself to be yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ and allow your importance to become what you do with Jesus. All right? I'm not talking about making a decision to receive Christ, because we use the phrase that way too, but I'm talking about working beside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've already reminded you, this is Jesus' yoke, so he's the one that is in the lead position. But I want you to understand, too, all the way through Scripture, the Bible talks about working with Jesus as being a blessing, and what he calls us to do as being a blessing. So if I might apply it to this situation, I want you to understand that being yoked with Jesus is a blessing. How many of you at work, whatever you do, how many of you enjoy working with certain people? You enjoy the fellowship, the conversation that goes on throughout the day. You know, you like them, and they're fun to be around, and you share a lot of experiences and goals and so forth. So you enjoy working with them. Well, stop and think, when you're yoked up with Jesus, who's the conversation going to be with? You're going to be drawing closer to the Lord Jesus every day when you literally yoke yourself up with him. I mean, not just getting a task done because he supplies the necessary strength.
He's also loving you, and you're beginning to sense his attitude and his spirit, and you're beginning to see his power at work in your life and in the lives of others. You're drawing closer to Jesus than in any other way, and so the day's work becomes a blessing, a joy.
Let me touch on one other. He's the one that is carrying the burden, and he's giving us the privilege of working with him. Like I talked about Sam's little granddaughter, I mean, she enjoyed working too, but it's because she got to work with Granddaddy. It made her feel important to be able to do some of the things she was doing. What'd you say she did, picking up nails or adding nails or something? But anyway, she was involved, all right? I'm not trying to belittle your assignment or what God is asking you to do. I'm trying to help you to understand when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's saying, don't worry about the difficulties. Enjoy the day with me. So when we take our yoke upon us, what we're really doing is releasing all of these things that we tried to carry by ourselves and let him carry them for us or with us. Some days, one woman told me, I need a crying room. I asked her what she meant, and oh, she says, I don't know. Some days the only way I could handle some things is just to cry, but my pride won't let me do that. I need a room where I can go in and shut the door and just cry. Well, I've begun to understand that that is necessary. One man told me he needed a place where he could go in and beat his head against the wall. I'm not sure that that's the same thing, all right? But I do remember a situation where I come into the house. A woman's husband had passed away. She was a beautiful Christian lady. And she had been restraining herself, trying to minister to the people who had come to minister to her. She was almost in a knot because she was trying that much self-control so that she could minister to be Christian and show love to those who had come to show love to her. I could see when she's trying to explain to me, tears swell up in her eyes. And she couldn't talk. I looked around and the room was full. Right behind me was the bathroom. And I says, go in there and shut the door and I'll guard the door until you get through. And you have a good cry and then wash your face and then come back out and minister to the people. I mean, that was her heart. She wanted to care for the people. She really did. And she was the one that was hurting so bad. Sometimes we need to realize Jesus is telling us that. It's okay. I'm pulling the load. You cry a little while if you need to. Just keep trusting me. Does that make sense? When you're yoked up with Jesus, impossible things are possible. So if we're weary and weighted down with circumstances and burdens, he's saying, yoke up with me. Put my yoke upon you. I'm still the team leader, but I'll make it possible. No, he doesn't say he would take those burdens away. He doesn't say he would remove those circumstances. No, you're going to have to face some suffering. He tells us that. You're going to have to face some times when it's difficult. He explains that. You're going to have to carry some burdens. He tells us that. But if we're yoked up with him, he's going to be carrying the most of the burden and responsibility, so we will be able to endure and enjoy him along the way. Now, I've got to go one step farther. If he's carrying the burden, when the task is done, give him the glory. When the task is done, don't puff up yourself of what I've done. And don't become the braggart that talks about how impossible it was and how you'd endure it, because we all know that's not true. If you're yoked up with Jesus, he's the one that's taken the burden. And we need to praise him for it. Or if we try to do it on our own, we learn quickly how impossible it is to do. How does he say, without me you can do how much? Then wise up. Quit your fussing. Get back in the yoke. And enjoy the journey with Jesus. Amen? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. This is going to be a blessed experience when we're walking with Christ. I wish I had Ron here to share his testimony. I'll give him a chance the next time we're together, but he was sharing again this morning how God miraculously intervened and he began to realize a tremendous victory because of what God had done. That's always the way it's going to be. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Next week, we'll do that. Today, get back in the yoke and walk with Jesus. Brother Don, what number are we singing?